Blog Talk Radio.
When I would do good, evil is always present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will free me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. I'm ready for the fight of my life. Start the record.
Welcome to the Abundant Solutions Hour, where our goal is to help others be more, do more, and have more. I'm your host, Brian J. Henderson, and our co-host, Gregory Turner, will be on with us very shortly. Tonight's show, it's going to be a good one. Religion in America. Religion in America. And when I tell you that tonight's guest, this brother is on fire, and he's going to live it up. He's going to give us some awesome, wonderful information. He's going to enlighten us. He's going to enrich us. He's going to make us a little bit smarter than we used to be. As we've been doing for the past couple of shows, I want to bring your remembrance back to the nation of Haiti. You know, we've been talking about it for quite a while now, and that nation is not a stranger to turmoil. It's not a stranger to poverty and all the different ills of life, as many of us have gone through. But what makes it a lot different for them is that they're really suffering now. You know, first it was the earthquake, then it was the floods, then it was cholera, and now they're a nation that's been divided by politics. And so we ask you all to pray for the nation of Haiti. They need your prayers, they need your understanding, and believe it or not, they still need your financial help. So we want you to pray for them. And I can't say enough about that. I can't say enough about it. You know, I look at a lot of the media and how they covered it, and you had so many people going down there, and, you know, then it sort of died off. And now that it's the holidays, you know, you got these folks that are going back, and they're trying to get back into the swing of things to show that they are visible. But throughout that the time where it occurred and now, you had a huge gap where people forgot about Haiti. So that's why we talk about it every single week on the show. But tonight's guest, I'm going to bring him in really shortly. First, I want to talk a little bit about who he is and what he does. Our special guest is author, motivational speaker, life relationship coach, screenwriter, film producer, consultant, Mr. Tony Gaskins, Jr. And this brother, I tell you, when I first met him, he just blew my mind with his wealth and breadth of knowledge. And he'll tell you, and he'll say it over again, this did not come from me. He never takes the credit for what he's learned, what he's amassed, and what he's doing, and what he has done. And, you know, I tell you, it's a beautiful thing when you see a young brother. You know, this brother's under 30 years old. He's a young brother, and he's got his mind all right. He's got it together. He knows what he's doing, you know. And I want to introduce you all to him tonight for those who don't know him. But please welcome author Tony Gaskins, Jr.
My brother, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, brother. Welcome again. You know it's always great to hear your voice, and it's even better when you're on the show with us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, man. Man, you really make me want to go hide in a corner with that grand introduction. I'm like, man.
Well, you know, brother, it's like I said earlier, it's a joy to talk to you and to learn more about what you've been doing and what you've been talking about, because that, I tell you, Greg and I, we get excited when we find out that you want to come talk to us on our show. You know, so it's like we get this wonderful honor of having you come visit us.
Oh, man, that's huge. Man, I thank y'all for having me, and this is like home. So whenever, you know, I feel like it's something that need to be touched on or just, you know, just dialogue where people can, you know, weigh in, I come to you all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And like I said, Greg is going to be on with us real shortly. He's having a little car trouble. But he's
okay.
On his way. He said, he told me, he said, I'm calling in as soon as I can get there. All right. But brother, I want to start off by just asking you, why the topic religion in America?
You know what? I really have been looking around and just at our world and in the state that we are in today. And, you know, when you look at the beginning, we tried to start with Christian values, you know, in God we trust. And that's really what the nation was built on. And it's not so much about the different religions that's popping up. It's about the way that we are crossing God out. Even right now in the holiday season, we look at Xmas. And we've been told that this is to shorten the word so that we don't have to write as long. But this was somebody's great idea to take Christ out of Christmas and just shovel it off as, oh, this will save you time. You know, this will save you time. Why not write Christ X and X out the end of it? But you see, it's like now we grow into we boxing God out. Kids can't pray in school, can't take the Bible to school, you know, but yet whatever else you want to do, it's okay. You know, things that could be harmful or detrimental to your health or to your mind, that's okay. But when it comes down to God, it's almost like we're moving towards blocking him out. And for me, you know, it's real disturbing.
You know, brother, I heard somebody talking about this the other day, and they were saying how now you hear people saying, happy solstice. And I was like, what is solstice? I had to go read up on it to find out what that was all about. You know, and, you know, you can't get a person in, like, the convenience stores or the shopping malls, you can't get them to say Merry Christmas.
Oh,
you
no.
have to say it first to them, and then they'll say it back to you. But the first thing they'll say is, have a happy holiday or season's greetings.
Right.
You know, but you can't get them. You can't force them to say Merry Christmas unless you say it first. And that's something
right.
that I think they're being taught to do.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? I believe that's exactly why. I mean, we in America, and the country is in God we trust, and it was built on Christian values, and it's okay that we've opened up and we've allowed other religions, but at the same time, you have to know if what you stand for. You know, we separated the church and the state, and I really don't even understand that. You know, why we move so far away from, it's almost like to be a Christian nowadays is becoming, you have to be quiet about it. You know, you can't say nothing about it because it's intrusive, or you might step on someone else's toes. And, I mean, the whole America is Christmas, and I believe we even have that holiday for Christ. I mean, that's the reason, the birth of Christ. But I guess because we have other religions coming in and we're feeling the need to accommodate, or, you know, the Muslims or the Buddhists or the atheists, whoever, that, you know, we have to be censored now. You have to be censored. But at the same time, I see God and God's people still standing up, still shining. But while at the same time, we have the devil sneaking in. And he is making a mockery of God, and he's sending mixed messages, because he also will use people who do things or promote things that's against the word of God, but use them in an acceptance speech to say, I like to thank God or Lord Jesus, my Lord and Savior. But yet their whole album is about fornication or homosexuality or bisexuality or, you know, things, crime, violence, everything, coveting, lust, everything that's against the word of God is on there, but yet they say, I like to thank God, my Lord, Savior. And I believe that's really Satan's way of kind of sneaking in and saying, let me make a mockery of this man y'all call God or this spirit you call God, and make you believe that these things, what's being promoted, is okay. And this is God.
You know, it's funny you say that, because that always used to irk me when I would, like, watch an award show. I got to the point where I really didn't watch them that much anymore, because you would see a guy that came up and talking about shake this, shake that. I'm the drug man. I got you know, this and that for you. And then he come up, want to give a shout out to my Lord and Savior. And I'm like, what? Give a shout out? You know, or you have
right.
the lady that every one of her songs is talking about how she can do bad, you know, I can do bad all by myself. I can go find another man today. I don't need you, you know, or I'm going to cut up your tires and, you know, all this kind of crazy stuff. Well, they're not promoting anything that's really wholesome or godlike. And then they'll say, I want to thank God. I want to thank God. Thank God first. And everybody claps, and you're right. It gets to a point where everybody thinks that it's okay to be in Jesus Christ and sing that kind of stuff. It's okay for you to go out and be dressed and look like a hooker as long as you don't hook.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right, yeah. And it's sending mixed messages, and people have to understand, and this is what I have a lot of clients that are, you know, artists in the industry, and, you know, have major albums coming out or have came out, and sometimes they reach out to me for help or for promotion, and I let them know, you know, I'll coach you. I'll be a friend to you, and I love you as a person, but I cannot promote anything that is contrary to the Holy Bible, to the Word of God, to the God that mm-hmm. I know and love that saved my life. It's not about you, you know, because... And what happens is we get so caught up trying to make friends. You see what I mean? We get so caught up trying to make friends. And like they say, business is business, friends are friends. Don't put the two in the same sentence. We on kingdom business. If you're a Christian, that means you are on kingdom business. And the ultimate goal is to lead people to Christ. And when you die, you go to your place in heaven. But see, we get so caught up making friends with people who don't believe in God and people who live contrary to the Word of God, and then we don't have the guts to say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. And we end up supporting something that's against God. So now what we take and do is we choose man over God. And what I'm telling people is be careful when you start to choose man over God, because man doesn't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. And at the end of the day, that's what I have to remind myself all the time. Am I here to please God or am I here to please man? I may step on some toes, but when it all boils mm-hmm. down, when everybody else turn their back, I know God going to be there for me. I know he's answered my prayers to the day, to the dollar, to the dime. I know he's given me this purpose. He's given me a wisdom. He's thrust me into what I'm doing and what I'm going to do. So that's who I have to please. And, you know, real Christians need to stand up, and it's not, and understand the difference between a Christian and a Pharisee. There's some folks walking around here and feeling like they have to speak in tongues, splashing you with olive oil, and every single sentence got to have God in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the relationship. People ought to know the way that you treat them. They ought to feel the love of Christ, not just hear the good news, but feel it. But there's so many people, here I am, a devout Christian, living what I teach, and I'll tweet something, right? I'll tweet something, I'll say something that's just sound wisdom, or, you know, and then he go to super holy roller Christians, oh, but God, or God this, or God that, or yeah, or God this, or God that. And I'm like, come on, man. This right here, sound wisdom. This ain't got nothing to do with God, but it's like they feel like they're going to reach people by beating them across the head with the Bible. That's why I tell them we got to reach the world with love in this day and age. You beat them across the head with the Bible, that's just going to give them a headache.
Now, I want to ask you a question about this term that people have heard in the past couple of years, and I want to get your take on it. Prosperity preachers.
Right. Oh, man, that is, and you know what, that's pushing so many people away from God, because every time you turn the TV on or you go into one of these mega churches, a lot of times, or 80% of the time or 70% of the time, they're talking about their dreams and their visions for what type of dome they want to build. and what kind of car you deserve and what kind of abundance you deserve. And they get away from the root of what Christ was about. Christ wasn't riding around on a white horse. He rode a donkey. Christ wasn't talking about, I'm living this way and I am here so that I can have a mansion on earth. Christ wasn't saying, be like me so you can get this mansion. He was saying, be of service. He was saying that the greatest among us is the servant. He said, be lowly at heart. Because if you are lowly at heart, God will exalt you. But see, this prosperity preachers, here's what's happened is they're human beings, right? They're human beings, and they know God, and they love God, and they got this great passion for God when they start out. But then they get a taste of this $1 million in this year, and now money becomes their love. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And so now they get so obsessed with this money, they get so obsessed with their things and the material things, that now their goal is no longer heaven in heaven. Now it's heaven on earth. Now they want to have heaven on earth, and that's what they get caught up in. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if all you're thinking about is what can I do, how much can I get these people to give so I can get me another Phantom? I want the 2011 Phantom. I want to get a 60,000 square foot house. I want me a jet like such and such. So now you get caught up. This is in your heart. This is controlling your mind and your thoughts. So you end up just preaching on giving tithe. You end up preaching on give, 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 and it'll be given back unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's what you're doing. And now you in church selling dreams. You're selling dreams, and you got the congregation paying tithes like they playing the lotto. Because you have promised them that if you give, God going to give back to you running over, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Which God wasn't saying, that wasn't talking about giving every single dime you got. That wasn't talking about, that wasn't for you to be preaching that all day. But see, we take it out of context. Basically what the word is saying, give your 10%. Pay your tithes. You know, give your 10% and let God do the rest. But we've hyped it up like it's the lotto. You know, pastors have hyped it up like it's the lotto. And now, guess what they're doing? That's actually one of the laws of power by the cat Robert Greene or whatever his name is. He's teaching the laws of power to sell dreams. Keep selling people dreams. Don't tell them the truth because the truth hurts. Sell dreams. And so these prosperity preachers, they go and they selling these dreams. So they get people so hopeful and get people so happy to where they empty their purse. They empty their purse, and it's not even about a relationship with God. They don't even have a relationship. They're thinking about the rewards. And what people got to realize, man, this service. But when you're a Christian, it's service. It's about your heart, not about your pocket. It's about your heart. You know, you might not have nothing to give. You know, it's been months and months and months on end at times in my walk with Christ that I didn't have to give. I wasn't able to give. I was at a point at one point to where my bills exceeded what I was making, and I couldn't give nothing, and because I had to pay bills. And guess what? I trusted God, and I believed him, and I knew God, and not once did I suffer, not once did I go without, and not once did God turn his back on me, because at the end of the day, I believe God judges the heart of your matter, and that's why a lot of people give expecting to receive, and they don't even get nothing. You give $1,000 and don't get nothing. Somebody that gave a dollar, God pour out on them, because it's where your heart at. And that's the thing, and that's what people have to realize. You got to realize, worship God, not man. I would tell people, worship the creator, not the creature.
Yeah. You know, and I tell you, I've seen it firsthand where you'll have all these people giving, 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 and they have nothing. And then the next thing you know, the pastor of that church is driving around in a brand-new Range Rover.
Yeah.
And it's not his first one or his second one or his third one.
Right.
You know, and you know, and then you see the members, they're struggling. They're struggling to be like the pastor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
you know,
that's
so, so they'll go out and they'll buy their Range Rover, but not the brand new Range Rover. They get a used one to try to emulate, oh, yeah, see, we live in big. We live in large.
Whereas, right.
when somebody needs something, they say, "Oh, well, you're not a member of our congregation, so you know we only help our members. So you have to
right.
be a member in order to receive the help."
Right.
You know, and I think that, you know, me personally, I think that goes against everything that Jesus stood for.
You're right. And the thing about it is Jesus, you didn't have to jump no hoops. See, we forget about discipleship. With Jesus Christ, you didn't have to jump hoops. He didn't say, "Sit down here for 2 weeks and listen to me teach, and then you can walk with me." He said, "No, drop what you got and follow me." He's taking
right.
heathens, he's taking anybody. As soon as you're ready, you become a disciple. If you got a heart to serve, God will let you work. But nowadays, we got these churches, so all these formalities. You got to go through a 60-day course. You got to go through 6 weeks of this, 6 weeks of that. And before you get to even serve God, by then you go out. You tired because you've been working for man. You don't even got no energy to work for Christ now. And that's what we're getting caught up in. And the pastors, see, in the book of Acts, they brought everything to the storehouse. Everybody, you know, they sold their goods. They sold everything. Everybody brought it to the church, and then they split it amongst themselves. See, they split it amongst themselves, and that's how church ought to be, not in the literal sense of selling your house and selling your things, but in the sense that if people are going to your church and they put money in your plate, when they need something, help them with their bills. And you can have requirements, like we'll help you with your bill, but we need you to sign on to this financial literacy class that we teach, and we got to show that they want to work and that they're willing to learn. And learn how to budget money, or some people, you really don't even have nothing to budget. My father was a financial coach, and he used to always talk about, "Hey, let me help you budget your money, let me help you budget." I said, "Man, I ain't got nothing to budget." I wasn't making no money. I say, the bills already tell me where the money going. It's not. I don't have any room to spend anything loosely or carelessly. And that's what pastors have to realize. This is about service. This is about service, and it ain't about... It's not about you. It's not about you. This is about God. But see, we get caught up in that. We get caught up in people praising us and people worshiping us, and we become God on earth. And that's why I have to remind myself daily, you know. And I tell people all the time, this is none of me. It's all God. Everything you hear me say, everything you read, it's the wisdom of God. And no matter who you read, all wisdom comes from God. That's why you hear all coaches and speakers saying the same stuff over and over, because wisdom comes from God.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we just had Greg join us. Welcome, Greg.
Yeah, I've been on here since you did the introduction. I guess y'all didn't see me on the call. But
Numbers didn't show up until just now.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I've been on here since you did the introduction. Tony, you touched on a couple of things, and the topic is religion in America. I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the two things that are before the courts right now? And one of them is don't ask, don't tell, and also the gay marriages. Well, what are your thoughts on those?
I haven't looked too much into the don't ask, don't tell. Is that where they're trying to make it to where openly gay people can serve in the Army?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And you know what? That's the way America is moving. You know, that is the way America is moving, and that's what I mean. It's not, I have nothing against gay people, because you're a person. You're a human being at the end of the day. Christ loves you. I love you. You know, but at the same time, what I look at, and the reason why I believe there's several scriptures that speak against homosexual acts, is because of the detriment that it has on the family, the things that it does to the family. I've had to coach females who were raised by lesbians, and just that trauma that they live through, and how torn they are, and females and males who were raised by a gay man. You know, with there and seeing this happen over and over. And my thing at the end of the day is, you know, a lot of gays feel like, you know, they were born like this. But when you really look at it, it's a It's a sexual desire. You know, it's your desire to a human being of the same sex. It's a sexual desire. It stems from lust for a spirit. And, you know, it's, I don't believe it's natural, and I don't believe that you would be born like that in the sense that God would say this is wrong, but yet let you be born to where there is no other option. And I've seen several people who used to engage in gay acts become, you know, heterosexual and get married, and they overcome it. And I'm coaching some now. I'm coaching some of those people now. But the thing about it is that if a woman and a woman can't have a child, and a man and a man can't have a child, when I look at it at the bottom line is, it must not be what God meant. It must not be what God meant if you cannot give birth, if you cannot replenish the earth, if you cannot, if your two body parts coming together won't work to create life, then it must not have been in God's plan. And the word of God hasn't changed. Now, I love them all the same. And so for the people that say, hey, I was born like this and I can't help it, I look and I say, you know what? I was born with a sexual desire too. Mine happens to be towards women. And I, in this every single day, I feel like pulling my hair out. I feel like screaming. And any and every woman I see, if she looks beautiful, I will think, or I may want to sleep with her. So guess what? That same urge that you have to be with someone of your same sex, I have that same urge to be with someone of my opposite sex. But at the bottom of the line, if it's against the will of God, then it's sin. So me sleeping with a woman is fornication. Now that I'm married, it would be adultery. So what do I have to do? I turn to the power of God, and I pray for his strength to take those thoughts out of my head, and I separate myself from those things. So that's what my gay clients are trying to overcome that, because deep down in their spirit, they feel like it's not right. Deep down in their spirit, they feel like something is not right. I'm not supposed to be like this, you know. And so they're trying to overcome it, and I turn them to the power of God and say, you know what? You got to pray for the strength, and then you got to separate yourself. Stop looking at people of your same sex. Stop hanging with people of your same sex. Stop surrounding yourself in those environments if you really want to change. You know, and that's really how I feel about it. My heart goes out to them because they're struggling. There's people that have killed themselves over being gay and the way that others have treated them. All I could do is love them. But at the same time, I cannot condone it and say that it's right because the Holy Bible says that it isn't. And at the end of the day, that's the only thing I have to live with.
Okay. You know, and the reason I ask you that question, I think that we have to be really careful when we're trying to reach people, when we're dealing with the gays, when we're dealing with people that are fornicating, when we're dealing with people that are just doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And we all fall short. We all do things that we shouldn't do. And I like how you said that we can't beat them over the head with the Bible. You can't make anybody do anything. And I think that when we're dealing with gays in the churches, because we see a lot of that. We see it, the piano players and the people that direct the choirs. We see all of that. And I think that the congregation needs to be really careful on how they deal with them and how they talk with them. A lot of times they run them out of the church. A lot of times they say ugly things that they shouldn't say. My thing is, we should go to them just like Christ would go to them. We should go to them the same way Christ go to us when we're in our sin. There's no different. It's all sin. And I think that we lose them, and we just need to be a little bit more tactful and pray and do what we should do when we're dealing with them. And, again, I just think that we should go to them the same way that Christ should come to us, because love conquers everything.
Right. Love conquers all. And you know what? If you want to change, Christ can give you that change, and there's Christians that will love you through that change. Because some people don't. Some people want to be able to have kids. You know, some people want to be able to raise a child. That's even why I stopped interracial dating, because I live in the South, and it was detrimental to the youth. So I'm thinking about my child. I didn't want my child to get picked on for being mixed. I remember reading a story of a young man who was mixed and, you know, black and white, and he was like, you know, he felt suicidal. He because he didn't know who he was. He didn't know whether to be black or whether to be white. Now, it's changing a lot this day and age. That was years ago, and I'm happy of that, but the same goes with gays, you know. I wouldn't want my child, you know, even if I was, you know, if I was gay and I saw this child would get picked on, get beat on, you know, oh, your daddy gay, the person raised you gay and this and that, because that's the future. So and when you bring a child into it, it's no longer about you, it's about them. And that's what I look at, you know, the way that it's going to affect those kids that you're trying to raise. And then you have to ask yourself, are you being fair? You know, are you being fair to them? Because you're bringing someone in this that doesn't have a choice, that is helpless and defenseless, and now they have to go through scrutiny that could drive them to suicide because you wanted something that was unnatural and out of the ordinary, out of natural, outside of God's will, and you weren't willing to change. And so it's real deep, and it goes real deep, and it's a sensitive subject. And no matter what, you're going to get flack about it. People gonna hate on you. They hated Christ because he said, I come to bring a sword. And my thing, my issue are the brothers who, you know, they not at all, it becomes a spirit. You know, it becomes a spirit to where, you know, they twisting and throwing their hand, and then they disrespect you because, you know, they see you a male and they know you like women, but then they become flamboyant with it and ooh wee and try to holler at you and, you know, and get you. That's when it gets out of control, and that's what people need to see the difference. You got some people that they do it for because it's fun. I was watching this guy on YouTube. He said gay Christian. And he was doing an interview, and he say, you know, he said, I do this because it's fun to me. Being gay is fun. It's interesting. You see, and that is the type of lust that the Bible is talking about. When they got so much lust, and men began to sleep with men, and women began to sleep with women, and that's the difference when we give in to lust.
Wow. You know, bro, I'll tell you, one of the most interesting things about what you just said was that when you talk about the ones that are flamboyant,
right,
they really only represent a small number,
right,
of that whole, you know, how can I say it, of that persuasion.
Right, right.
But there are many who don't come out. They hide it. They keep it under wraps for fear of being, you know, persecuted. You know, and,
right,
you know, I personally, like, my personal belief is if that is what you believe you want to do, that's your choice. There's, you know, I have no right to tell you what to do.
Right.
You know, if you believe that, you know, I'll tell you what the Bible says. I'll tell you what I believe. But I won't,
right,
tell you, but you have to believe what I believe. You,
right,
know, I just give it to you the way that the Bible says it, and I leave that decision up to you.
Right.
You know, in the same,
yep,
light. Do you believe that there is a, how can I say that, quote-unquote, movement that is pushing more of a pro-gay Christian? So you see what I'm, you see
right,
what I mean when I say that,
right? Yep. I
like
know
that
what
it means. That it's acceptable to be Christian and gay. And the reason I say that is because I have some friends who, and people who I work with that are gay, and they identify with being Christians.
Right.
And they,
right,
say, well, God loves everybody, so why,
right,
can't I be a Christian?
Right.
You know, and I because I'm very tactful of, and you know, and I don't want to offend anybody with what I say, I always say, well, read your Bible.
Right, right.
I say, please read your Bible, you know.
Right.
But there are some out there that believe that it's okay to be gay and Christian.
You're right.
And they
feel
it's no different.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 through 10, it goes on to say, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So that's Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. And you see that homosexual offenders is thrown in there with adulterers, you know, with male prostitutes, with drunkards or slanderers and swindlers. So see, it's not like it's a worse sin, it's just sin in the eyes of God. And so if I'm cheating on my wife, I'm in the same boat as a homosexual man in God's eyes. Now, at the end of the day, Bible is left up to interpretation. Other people, you know, think it means something else, but what they say they think it would mean that the author would have said male prostitutes two times in a row. And so theologians say it doesn't make sense for him to say nor male prostitutes, nor male prostitutes. And so the translation is translated from nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. And then it goes on to say, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So what people have to understand is that may be you, but when you become a Christian, you become a new creature. So if you're struggling with that, and if you're suffering that, and if it's not natural, if you cannot give birth, if you cannot prolong life or replenish life, that way Christ can renew you. I was a fornicator. I would have been an adulterer. But with the strength of Christ, I can love one woman. I can be in a monogamous relationship, and I can be faithful. And guess what? It is hard. Just like homosexuals, it's hard to deny that flesh, to deny that lust or that feeling. It is just as hard for a heterosexual person, especially a man, to deny that attraction that he has and to have sex. But adultery is a sin, and according to the Bible, homosexuality is a sin. And when you look at it now, it is a movement, and there's gay pastors in Atlanta. There was gay pastors on CNN in light of Bishop Eddie Long case, you know, saying that, hey, I am gay and I am a pastor of my church and it's okay. You know, God loves everybody. And, you know, it's up to each individual's interpretation. Me personally, I wouldn't test the word of God. If it says this isn't right, I wouldn't wait till I get in the judgment line to find out, because at that point it's too late. So I'm not going to try to get lost in the interpretation. But I do see the movement coming, and not just in the Christian church, but in the media. You know, in the media we see, and in music we see Lady Gaga, who says she's bisexual, but you know, stories come out about her begging her boyfriend to be with her. So some people, you know, saying she's just doing that to get the gay community. And then Nicki Minaj, who's supposed to be bisexual, you know. And so it's a lot of people. And then we have Ellen, who is a very awesome lady, you know, and she's gay. So it's a lot of big-time people who are saying, hey, this is okay, this is natural, you know, be you, we love you. And, you know, I don't hate them at all. I love them like God love them. I just choose not to live that lifestyle. And I would teach that in my house. And if I become a pastor, I would teach that in my church with love. But also let them know that the love of Christ can change. If he changed me from doing all the things I was doing and being the person that I was, he can change you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, I want to
I was
going to
say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
My bad. I want to point out, because a lot of people, they argue it, and as far as the Bible is concerned, and now I'm not talking to the atheists or the people that don't care nothing about God or Christianity, but in Leviticus 18 and 22, it says, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. And so you see, it's clear about what God feels. And in Romans, the first chapter, 26 and 27, it says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Remember I pointed out lust, to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones, meaning they gave up sex with a man for sex with a woman. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. So, and that's the word of God. And for me as a Christian, I believe God and I believe the word of God, and I believe it because of what he's done in my life and the way he's answered my prayers. So when I read something like that, I can't argue with it. And it's up to each individual to make their own choice. And, you know, with every choice comes consequences.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I want to talk about another very, very hot topic as it deals with religion in America. I want to talk a little bit about how people view Islam in America. And I'll give you the reason why. Now, I have some friends, I have some family members who are Muslim. And when I talk to them and we have conversations about, you know, things that are going on, even in the political realm, you know, it's amazing the amount of knowledge they have about the Bible. Not just that, and these are the ones who I talk to, the ones that I know, you know, it would make you think that in order to be a Muslim, you had to first be a Christian because they study the Bible. They know the Bible. They identify, and to be honest, with the majority of them, these are the ones that I know and I talk to and that I'm friends with, the majority of them, the only thing that we differ on as it relates to religion is Jesus Christ.
Right,
and, of course,
right.
That's the central point of our belief, is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know,
right.
And that's really the only thing that we have this, you know, not necessarily an argument, but the difference.
Right, right.
You know, and to me that difference is everything. But to them, you know, but as far as, like, the extremism and all the other stuff, they're not like that.
Right. Right.
You know, I have one that I work with. He's the funniest guy I know. He's always smiling, always happy, always laughing, always joking. You know, if he were to tell you that he was a Muslim, you'd be like, what? You know?
Right.
And so, you know, so in light of what I just talked about, you know, let's get a real discussion about the Islamic extremism and, you know, just talk about that a little bit.
Right. You know what? A lot of people, you know, there are a lot of peaceful Muslims. One translation, people say Islam means peace. Another translation is Islam means submission. And a lot of Muslims, they do know a lot about the Bible. And when you talk to them, they quote Bible scriptures. And I had that same question a long time ago, and I asked a great, you know, Bible scholar, which happens to be my father, and I said, you know, why do we have Muslims and Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and Christians, you know, and they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God as far as the Muslims are concerned, and they don't believe that's the way to heaven, that's the way to God through Jesus Christ. And he pointed out to me, and I said, you know, what's the difference? Why not be a Muslim? Because they seem, you know, especially the Nation of Islam, there's a lot of black people, you know, a lot of black men. And what seemed to be a religion at the time in the civil rights, it was almost like a religion of rebellion. And it wasn't about love. It was like, hey, they hit you, you hit them back. You know, they got guns, you got guns too. And so it kind of got, you know, sidetracked. And my father told me, he said, and this is what helped me solidify my reasons for being a Christian. He said, you know what, if the Muslims and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness all come to convert you and they pull out your book as a Christian, they pull out the Holy Bible, That tells me if the four major religions all make reference to the Holy Bible, but the Holy Bible makes no reference to Muhammad or the Quran or the Watchtower or the Book of Mormon, that tells me that the Holy Bible is the source. And he said, just like with any truth, you don't want it from the legs or the spinoffs. You want it from the source. So that is why I became a Christian, because all the major religions point to the Holy Bible. But see, what happens is, if they point to the Holy Bible, but they hit a fork in the road in the Holy Bible, and it fed them something that they wasn't able to swallow. And so instead of swallowing it, they had man. A man took and started a religion. A man took and started a religion to diverge from the Bible, to say, okay, the Bible says this, and that's cool up until this point. Now, from here, we're going to go this way. And then you thought about it, and you say, what is the ultimate? What is of ultimate concern when you look at religion? And the ultimate concern is to have a place after we die. That's why a lot of these people of the extreme Muslims are blowing themselves up so they can go to the afterlife and have the 70 virgins. But the question is, how can Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad, how can he grant you life after death when he himself never conquered death? Now, when Christ say, I will give you eternal life, Christ conquered death, and he rose from the death, and scientists and theologians have proved that. But Muhammad's body is still in the grave. You see what I'm saying? So you have to look at, you have to look at the breakdown of it. And even with Buddha, you know, look at how can someone who can't walk because he is 900 pounds, literally, teach you about peace and tranquility? What is it about being obese to the point that you're immobile, peaceful? You see what I'm saying? How can he grant peace? How can he grant peace and tranquility? But Jesus Christ, who was beaten and slain, who denied himself and died for the sins of people he never even met, that in itself is peace and love. So I can't even, when I look at all of the religions surrounding, I look at what's going on, when you get to the core of it, Jesus Christ is peace, he's love, and he is eternal. The fact that he rose from the dead, Muhammad didn't do that, Buddha didn't do that, and that was my deciding factor. That's what let me know God was real. And then I also went to the Holy Bible, and I looked at the promises. I used to date a Muslim for 2 years. And I say, when is the last time that you prayed to Allah and it was answered? When is the last time that you had a prayer and it was answered, to the day, to the dollar, to the dime? She couldn't tell me. I talked to her mother and father. They could not tell me. But then I say, you know what? Last week, I got on my knees and I prayed to God. After keeping the principles of the Holy Bible, I prayed to God and I said, Lord, I'm $50 short of this bill. The next day I got a check for $54. Another time, after keeping the principles of the Holy Bible, I say, Lord, I'm $90 short for a bill. The next day I got a check for $104. God continued to show me that I'm real. God took me and said, hey, if you're willing to go, you're willing to work. I say, Lord, I'm 26 years old. I used to be a pimp. I used to be a drug dealer. I used to be a womanizer. I used to be an abusive boyfriend. How can I be used? But I can tell you, if you do give me a wisdom to speak, I'll never bite my tongue. I'll never waver against the truth. And God say, I'm going to take you uneducated, ex-pimp, ex-drug dealer, ex-woman abuser, and I'm going to use you, and your voice will be spread across the whole world. And now I have clients in over 29 countries. And so a person cannot tell me that if you abide by the principles of the Holy Bible that you won't reap the promises. And that's the thing. A lot of people that don't believe in God is because they've never really tried God. Brother, look
here. Tony, it sounded like you had to bring it on back in. You was about to cut loose.
Oh, hey, I had to go on stock because, hey, I can go. Because I'm a living witness. So I'm passionate about this thing. You know, I'm passionate about this. And I just want more people to try it out.
And that's what we need. We need to hear from people like yourself and Brian, who are transparent and who don't mind getting their knees and elbows scraped up, because when you stand for him, everything else around you is going to come against you. But the beautiful thing is, what can stand against him? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing can stand against him. So, you know, sometimes we just have to take that hit and keep going, because that's exactly what's going to happen. And when, you know, we were talking about the gay marriages and all this other stuff, you know, I think a lot of people, because people look at them and they turn their nose down at them and just don't think that they're people. We're all God's children. You know, we're living in a world where pretty much everything goes, and it's sad. And
right.
it's so sad. But love is going to be the only thing that can conquer that. He never gave us power over each other.
Right.
He never did that. And I
right.
think when we try to push and do, a lot of people rebel and they do what they do because other people are looking at them and saying things and doing this. And I think people, you know, they're just getting, I think they're getting confused. I think a lot of people are getting confused. They're reading the Quran, they're reading it, and they're following all these different religions and traditions, and they're getting so confused that they just don't know which way to go. But
right.
I'm just thankful, man, that you're on here, you're saying what you're saying, because, hey, you know, blind always throws scriptures out there. He'll say what he has to say, but he'll back it up with scripture, and that's what you're doing. So, again, go to the source.
Right.
Go to the source where all of this is coming from. Yeah, I like
right.
that.
Yeah, go to the source. That's what I tell, you know, Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons that have come and knock on the door and, you know, try to convert me. How can you convert me using the Bible? You know, I'm a Christian. Why would you want to take me from this when you're using the only Bible that Christ refers to, the only book? And the thing about it is if you can believe, you know, a section of it or a portion of it, why not buy into all of it? Why not believe in all of it? Because you can't take half of it. You can't be lukewarm. You got to be hot or cold. And every single time, every person that has ever lived by the principles of the Holy Bible, they have been rewarded with the promises of the Holy Bible. My mother called me today and she was questioning God. And mind you know, she'd been saved, you know, since I was 7 years old. That's 21 years. And she was questioning God because some of her friends are suffering. My uncle got 40 years in prison and, you know, for $20 worth of drugs. And, you know, her other friend, he did 18 years in prison and now he's getting out and they're going to have him on probation for the next 10. And her other friend facing 60 days in prison because she got in a hit and run. Now, my uncle was in the streets and he was, you know, he was selling drugs or taking drugs or around drug dealers. The other guy, he was a drug dealer. And this other young lady, she had a hit and run. And I say, Mama, you can't question God because they is good people and they suffering consequences. When you question God, when you see the righteous forsaken, I say, you serve God and you love him, and he ain't never turned his back on you. You ain't never went without. Anything you need, he come through. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And that's out the Holy Bible. But see, and she said, you know what, son, you show right. All of them was in sin. All of them was in the wrong. But see, when you playing with the devil, ain't no rules. He going to hit you harder than you hit him. And that's why they say sin will take you farther than where you want to go, have you pay more than you can afford, and keep you longer than you want it to stay. So we have to be careful with that. We got to be careful with that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I tell you what, man. You know, Tony, I think when people are going through the valley and the bad times of their life, they look at it, and I guess they look at anything that is going to stretch them or make them uncomfortable. They think it's the work of the devil, and that's not always the case. We can't keep giving him so much, you know, we can't keep giving him so much credit for stuff. A lot of things that happen, you know, when you were going through your stuff and you were caught and you know, you were feeling down and bad. That's not always the devil. You know, what would you say to someone that's just in their storm right now thinking that where they are, they can't get any better. They think that their world is coming to an end. What would you say to them right now?
I would say keep going through. Keep going through, because what you're going through right now is only strengthening you and preparing you for what God got for you next. And more so than it being the devil, what people have to stop doing is stop blaming God. Just because your mother died or your father died or your best friend died, don't get mad at God. Because, see, what God did is he set the world in motion so that it can operate on its own. And a part of life is death. So everybody has their own day. It might be at 10 years old. It might be at 110 years old. But we cannot fault God because we lost someone that we love when life just did what it does, what it was created to do. We live and we die. Tragedies happen. Things happen. It is not God's fault. But where God comes into play is he'll give you the strength to get over it. He'll give you the strength to go and tell a testimony about it. And that's what we have to do is stop blaming the devil, for one, for our mistakes and our choices, and stop blaming God for things that's happening around us that we don't have an answer for. And there's so many people that have turned their back on God and become atheists or non-Christians because they lost someone they love. I remember talking to a guy, he said, you know, I lost my mom and my sister, and that's when I stopped believing in God. I say, that's when you should have started believing in God, to give you the strength to go on and to keep pressing forward. You know, God didn't kill him. It wasn't God that said, hey, I'm going to take these off this earth so this young man can suffer. That was life, and life happens, and that's a part of life. And so that's what we have to realize, understand that God is not just, you know, this puppet master sitting up there pulling strings and bothering with us. The Bible says that God tempts no man. He tempts no man. The Bible also says that God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of confusion. So don't attribute hate and malice and bad things to God.
Yes, sir.
That is the absolute truth. You know, we're getting close to the end of our show. Brother, I'm telling you, I know God's giving it to you, but I still have to ask, where are you getting all this stuff from?
You know what? I didn't even study or prepare for this interview, and I actually had forgot that it was happening. And I was on a video conference right before this, and I had nothing prepared. And right as I was about to get on the phone, and I didn't get a chance to call in until a minute before, I said, Lord, let me decrease so that you may increase. Become my tongue, become my vocal cord, become my mind, and you speak through me. You give me the words that you'll have me to say. And that's my prayer before I do it and say anything. And when I get done, I honestly can tell you, when I get done speaking anywhere, I don't even remember what I said. That's how I know God is using me. And when I'm in my natural element, you might talk to me. You may not understand a word I'm saying because of my country accent. But when I go to speaking, it feels like my tongue just get loose and I can speak. So I cannot attribute any of the wisdom that I have to anything but from a divine touch from God, that he just lay it on me. And I know it's him, because if it wasn't him, every 26-year-old that I meet would be thinking and speaking the same way that I do. Everybody under 30 would be. If it wasn't God, I wouldn't be able to teach my clients that are in their 60s. So I know that it's all God. And that's what I tell people, that wisdom is available to you. You just have to go to the Holy Bible, and you got to ask God and be ready to receive it.
Yes, sir. That's good, there, brother. That's powerful.
Appreciate
that. Is powerful. And he will. He said, if you open your mouth, I will fill it. He did say
yes.
That.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome, brother. And Tony, what about some of your programs that you have to offer for those that are listening? Really quick.
Right now I have For the Love of Me. It's my love school, teaching pure love, you know, God love. God is love. And that's TonyGaskins.com/For the Love. And that's my program, my major one. And I have several other things on my site. Just visit TonyGaskins.com. If you need a coaching session or a consulting session, I'm here for you, ready and willing.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brian.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Well, brother, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, man. As always, you're always welcome. You're not just a guest of the show. You're a friend and a brother of the show.
That's it.
And definitely a
That's
friend
it.
And a brother to us.
Yes, sir.
That's
thank
it.
Y'all. Y'all my brothers.
Thank you.
Yes, all sir. Right. With that being said, you've been listening to the Abundant Solutions Hour. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we ask that you join us next year. Is it next year, Greg?
Next year.
Next year. Starting January 5th is our next show. Good evening. God bless you all, and see you next year.